Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in the Genesis Room. I am Randy Bergen. The Three Musketeers are back in the house. Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter. Rick, good to see you. Let's get you turned on here. What, Rick?
It's good to be seen, man. I'm just telling you. It's great to be here.
And, Mark, you have been gone for the last couple of weeks.
I know. I missed you guys. I really did. But I did get a really nice little trip with my wife up to the loveliest lake around, Lake Martin.
Did you have fun?
I did. We went up there. And it's one of those stories, Rick, you know, we talk about guys we coached in the past. And This is a young man. The place we went and stayed, a young fella who wrestled for me at Benjamin Russell back in the 80s. And Matt was a senior. And this is the tough part of the story. Matt was a senior wrestler, probably top four in the state. And it got about middle of January, and he received an appointment to the Air Force Academy.
Right.
And he was really excited until they told him, say, Matt, we got one little issue. You're developing cauliflower ear.
Oh, no.
Which is, you know, something
you see that with boxers.
You see with boxers, you see it with wrestlers,
right.
UFC guys. And he was developing it. And he said, you know, we're not going to, you're going to, you know, we can't offer you anything without, if your ears get worse, because hearing is a big, big deal or part of that. So he came and talked to me. And I said, well, then, buddy, you hang your wrestling shoes up like right now. Because this next 3 or 4 weeks means nothing, you know,
compared to the rest of your life. Exactly.
Yeah. And so, sure enough, he went on to the Air. He had to quit and went on to the Air Force Academy, graduated, flew tours in the Middle East, flew a fighter pilot, and just a wonderful person, raised a great family. And now he flies for Delta and stays
cool
pretty busy. But he's got a cabin on the lake that him and his family bought years ago. And he said, Coach, anytime, that thing needs to be used. And so I gave him a call, and he said, come on, Coach, we'll have it ready for you. So we went up there and hung out, and we just had the best time. It was a great getaway for us. And Michelle, of course, she loves sitting out in that sun, so we had a good time.
So can you drop that phone number off somewhere?
Pardon me?
Can you drop that phone number off somewhere so
no.
I can pick it up? Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Goodness gracious.
I would love to go hang out at Lake Martin. You
should
do that every
weekend.
I got
another place, though.
Yeah, do you?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
You never know.
Help me, Rick. Help me. Help me.
That's cold-blooded. That's all
what?
I can tell you.
What?
I mean, you got to tell them you got two places now, not just one.
But of course, Randy knows I would do anything in the world to get Randy on Lake Martin if he wants on Lake.
Well, there's not a golf course that is within 50 yards of him, but there's a couple up there now, Willow Point, of course.
And Wicker Point.
And let me tell you, they say that's something special. So.
Yeah, we need to go up there and play sometime.
And you
need to set a tournament up there.
And you have never played golf until you've played down at the what's the little city golf course down there they play at all the time?
In Millbrook?
No, in Alex City.
Oh, wait a minute, man.
Lake Winds?
It is. It's something
it's
like
Lake
that.
Lake Winds?
Yeah. And
I've played that course a million times. It is so fun.
Yeah.
It's hard little course.
And it's not long.
No,
it's
not
just
long.
A little old short course.
It
That's
isn't.
Exactly right.
But it is and I think it's Lake Winds. A bunch of folks called it Goat Hill forever. That's how I knew it.
Let's be careful.
They're all right with that.
Okay.
That's an Alex City term.
Lake Winds.
Lake Winds.
Lake Winds.
That's what it is.
Yeah, if you hadn't played that, Randy, you ought to go play that sometime. You get some.
Well, whenever I do go stay at Lake Martin in that cabin, then I'm going to go play.
There you go. I'll hook it up for you.
Okay.
I'm going to get you a free round of golf.
Do that. Please do. Hey, look, a lot of things going on in prep. Rick, there's been some changes at the top.
Yeah, Alvin Briggs announced his retirement. He, after serving 3 years as the executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, And Alvin's had a really tough time. He's had to deal with some things that have just been kind of, man, it's been tough. And he's going to retire, and he's going, you know, he's got plenty of time to do some things that he really will enjoy doing, and I'm happy for Alvin, and it's just been a tough time. The executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association has no days that he doesn't deal with problem after problem after problem, and that's all it is. That's all that position is. It's kind of like being an assistant principal in a large high school. All you do all day long is deal with discipline. And for Alvin and for Steve and for Dan and for their predecessors, it's just so mind-boggling, and it's such a tough, tough job. And as a matter of fact, Randy, today, if anybody wants to call in on the Pops Midtown
communication lines,
you certainly can to talk about that. But you know, I think the big question is who's going to replace him. And you know, it better be, first of all, you better be able to litigate. You need to be able to run an office. You need to be able to handle personnel. And then you need to be able to do 10,000 other things on a daily basis. It's just almost an impossible job. And people who have been in it, when it is over, you know when you've been through a hurricane and it's over and you have that big sigh of relief, stepping away from this job, you get that sigh of relief. So I'm happy for Alvin, but it's been a really tough, tough time the last couple of years.
And maybe coming up in the next segment, we'll get a little deeper in that. Maybe you got some thoughts of some folks?
Yeah. Of course, there's a couple that I think would fit that bill. But you know, and also, Terry Curtis is elected the president of the Central Board of Control. Kim Keel from Pelham, who's a former Northview High School graduate in Dothan, she's the vice president. And so – anytime you have a change in leadership on the board, you have a lot of different they go about things differently. So Terry will take over the reins there, and so it'll be an interesting turnover.
Yep. Some other news. If you're a Fairhope Pirate fan, you got a new basketball coach, and we know him. You know him real well, Mark. Ralph Watson.
Yep. Man, I tell you. Coach Solomon had done a great job there at Fairhope, and just, you know, I think he's got some other goals that he's looking to do, and he wants to get into administration, and I think he'll do a fantastic job there. And so as he goes out, you know, you find who's coming in, and you look back and say, man, we've got Ralph Watson sitting right here in our backyard, who only holds the record for the greatest season ever at in basketball history, the year they went undefeated during the regular season. And they got beat in the third round, Rick, I think it was, the sub-regionals.
Yeah.
They were 33-1.
Yeah.
That was their record. And so that at that time, now I don't know if they've had some great teams since then, they have, but at that time, that was the best basketball season I'd ever seen, and one we'd ever and I think it was the best one ever had at Fairhope, because it went way. They were really, really good. That gym was packed every night as the streak went further and further.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Ralph, besides all that, he's one of the finest human beings that you're ever going to meet.
There's no doubt about
and,
that.
And man, if there was anybody I'd want coaching my kids, it'd be Ralph Watson. I'm just so tickled for Ralph and for Fairhope, for him being able to get that job and get to go to work there, and he'll do a great job there.
You know, the thing Ralph has, he's always kept his hands in basketball. He took a kind of a year off and then jumped back in and started helping girls, and he's just got a passion for the game. And he's a great basketball coach. You can say whatever you want to about basketball coaches, but Ralph is in that list. He's in that group of coaches that really gets it. I mean, he really, really gets it, and really excited for him. I just thought that was a slam dunk hire to me. He's right there with you, and he knows the kids. The kids know him, and they love him, and he'll do a great job, and excited for Ralph to be back in there.
Really. I am too. I'm really, you know, and a lot of the stories about Ralph, some people say that he's only thing he does better than coach basketball is coach football. He is a tremendous football coach.
Yeah,
he is.
He really is.
He's always under the radar on that.
Very much so. And he likes doing middle school and or ninth grade ball. Now, he'll coach varsity, too. He coached with us at Bayside with the varsity. But he's a very good coach. And he and I actually coached baseball together one year.
Now we're stretching it.
No, he was pretty good. I just kind of got the bats in the bag and everything.
I didn't know y'all coached that many things together. Yeah, that's great.
And you did a great job.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back. Hey, the second-ranked running back in class of 2025 here in Alabama, Alvin Henderson, young man from Elba. Where's he going? We're going to tell you when we get back.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in life. He's back.
It has meaning whenever he's sitting right there in the song
right.
Plays.
That's right.
Smile for the
That's
camera.
What Michelle says. You're like a dream come true.
Yeah, boy.
There you go.
A nightmare.
Oh, my goodness. That's Welcome good. To the craziness. This is the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleland, Coach Mark Glaster. Glad that you are with us. A lot to dive into in this segment right here. When we left, a little bit of a teaser there. The Elba running back, who is, I think, ranked second in the state in class 2025. Well, he's not going to Auburn.
No,
he's not going to Florida State.
No,
not going to Miami. University of Alabama didn't offer him anything. Rick, where's he going?
Well, he's going to Penn State, but I don't know how in the world that happens. I was under the impression now from number 89 that he was in Alabama's hip pocket, and then all of a sudden it doesn't turn out that way. So I just took for granted that that's where he was going. I didn't really even look at a lot of the – and I don't look at a lot of that prognosticators, you know, saying where he's going to go. But, guys, he's a pretty good doggone football player when he's on the football
athlete.
Field.
Yes, sir.
Certainly one of the best athletes that's ever come out of Elba. Next to Big 89.
Yes, of course.
Now, you got to cover yourself there. That's right.
I do.
You got to cover yourself there. And, guys, they've had an interesting week in Elba. We may talk about that a little bit later on. I wouldn't want to be in a community where they did not renew the superintendent's contract.
Oh, my.
And then the president of the Board of Education, he needs to take cover. They done shot up his house.
What?
Yes. They shot up his house. I mean, it was riddled with gunfire.
Good grief.
Can you imagine that?
No, I cannot.
We need to get 89 on here and get some subjectivity to that. I'm not sure that I'd want to be a board member down there if they're shooting up your house.
Probably not a good place to be a board member.
Well, that's not good, but he is a heck of a football player. I don't know all the comings and goings of it. Mark, you know it a little bit better than I do in the sense that I think Alabama was on him for a long time. And it was,
but they never offered.
Well,
that's what I heard. Now I don't know, but I don't know.
Then Kalen DeBoer shouldn't have any flack from this because Coach Saban's group never offered him. So I didn't know that either. Why did we always?
I thought he was going to Alabama.
Right.
That's when I first thought I heard that's where he was in Alabama. Lean, according to the. Right, all the different, you know, the recruiting analysts, what have you. And then they kind of went away from that, and it became Auburn.
Okay.
And that's what – and the recruiting analyst who lives in my house, Mr. One Bryant Lassiter,
right,
was telling me, he says, he's going to Auburn. And then all of a sudden he came in a few weeks ago and says, Dad, I don't know. All of a sudden now Florida State's in the mix. And he goes, and then I heard Penn State. And sure enough, he turns around and ends up going to Penn State out of the clear blue sky. And I'm really not sure what happened there that we let one of the best running backs in Alabama and in the Southeast get out of our backyard and go up north to play at Penn State. But
let me ask
where
you this:
he wants to go play.
Well, let me ask you this: does sometimes maybe the best player, maybe he's not always the best match?
for a particular school?
Could very well be. Could be something about him that Alabama and Auburn, you know, liked him, and there's some things they didn't like or what have you, and maybe he just felt like Penn State was, you know, really, 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 you know, pressing the metal on it, trying to get him to come there, and just felt like that's where he wanted to go. And, you know, Penn State's a great school. I mean, good for him. And as far as that goes, I hope everything works out for him. But it's just hard for me to see, because we got two of the finest football programs in the country. But, you know, every kid has to find his own place.
You know, I think the first group that started recruiting him was Gus Malzahn's group, as far as Auburn was concerned.
Probably, yes.
It's interesting to see that Central Florida wasn't in that mix, too.
Yes.
And I know that some people consider them to be a step down. Well, those people that consider them to be a step down, get on the football field and play them.
Because you don't want to play them.
No, man. You don't want to play them. I'm just telling you. That kind of surprises me, because those were the coaches that were recruiting him from Auburn. And I don't know. Recruiting throws us a lot of funny curves.
Yeah, it does.
It really does.
And you never know. You just don't ever know with kids what they're going to do.
Well, and now with NIL, you don't have. We have no idea what they're thinking.
No. And we read something this week where they've even loosened more on the transfer portal, giving them more options on the transfer portal now than there was beforehand.
You can go anywhere,
anytime,
yeah,
and play immediately.
And especially if a coach leaves,
yeah,
a sitting coach leaves, and, you know, just go. You don't lose a year, you just go. So it's yeah, something. But that is a surprise, Randy, that he's committed now to Penn State. And from what I'm hearing you say, that may not be the final.
May not be it.
Because
supposedly he had several set up press conferences.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of months, and he was going to announce and then didn't.
Yeah.
Then postponed or changed or what have you. And maybe it's because he couldn't make up his mind. Sometimes the kids just can't make up their mind, you know.
Well.
They're 17, 18-year-old boys.
Well, it also depends on where the money is.
That's a great call, Randy. Yeah. That's exactly right in today's world. That's exactly right.
Which is a shame.
In whatever sport.
To a certain point.
Yeah, it is a shame. You know, while we're talking about that, Ben Thomas has got a dear friend, and he wrote about him this week, Mike Argo up in Gadsden, who's got a very debilitating disease. Mike actually was a defensive coordinator, I think, or one of the coordinators for Vince DiLorenzo. And Vince did a wonderful, wonderful job there at Gadsden. But those of us coaching and in coaching circles, I know he's been on our prayer list in our Southeastern group of coaches for now for about 6 months.
Right.
But, I hope you'll remember Mike Argo. He's going through some tough, tough times. He's been in a nursing home and away from his family. And, our prayers go out to him. And thanks, Ben, for keeping us updated on Mike Argo. Those of us who have known him, albeit only in a coaching way, did not know this until Ben brought it to our attention.
Yeah,
so.
I did not know. And yeah. I know Mike. I've known Mike for a long time.
Really?
Good fella, good coach. And, man, I hate to hear it. I did not. I had no idea that. Yeah. He was going through this, and just wishing him the best and prayers for him daily.
You know, Randy, we got one other thing that we need to mention, because this kind of sounds like you and some of your golf mates. 9 birdies, 2 eagles. 2 eagles on the first 4 holes.
That's pretty good.
This is a little girl by the name of Chloe Ruby at Lindsay Lane High School. She shot the lowest score in an AHSAA competition ever. What do you think that number was?
Grief.
That she shot?
Real quick. 9 birdies, 2 eagles, and 7 pars.
That's probably going to add up, and my math is a little slow this early in the morning, but I would think that's probably around a 65.
59. Gosh, isn't that amazing?
59?
59, Randy. She played at Cane Brake Golf Club in Athens.
Absolutely.
And she played from the women's tees. Yeah. 4,800 yards from the women's tees. and shot 59.
Wow.
Wow. Francis Brown, 66. Of course,
yeah,
Ray Shoes were her swing coach. So
I didn't mean to throw that in there. We're talking football, but I wanted you to get that before.
That's awesome.
That's something you can talk about on Southern Fairway.
There you go. All right. All right. Let's take a time out. When we come back, we continue the madness here in the Genesis Room.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air around here, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass, it's I got your number, I got your back, when your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got a song, the boys are fall.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. You know, Rick, I tell you, Mark, every time I listen to that, I get goosebumps. And I'm going to tell you who that song reminds me of. My good buddy, Coach Barry Gibson.
Yep.
We'd be traveling. That boy would be singing that song right there. He'd be singing that song. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. You're good, but you ain't Kenny Chesney good.
This
coach.
Is true, yes. Ain't many people that good.
That's funny.
No, Big G, he can sing. There ain't no doubt about it. But yeah, okay, welcome back.
And he's had some health issues.
He has.
And keep him in your prayers. He had some surgery. Shoulder, was it shoulder or something else? But I know it was, you know, it was something that we sure need to keep him in our prayers.
Coach, you were talking a little golf.
Yep.
Earlier, mentioned Francis Brown, good friend of ours, Ray Schuessler, the director of instruction at the Country Club of Mobile, is their swing coach, great guy. Mm. And I mentioned that. We got into kind of swayed off a little bit into golf. Of course, the Masters is going on.
Yeah.
And we are going to be talking a lot about that starting at 10 o'clock this morning. It is a very special place. Mark, we got to get some tickets for you and Rick and see if we can get y'all over there.
It will. I'd love to go over there sometime just to walk around and see. What, of course, if I get behind too many people, I won't be able to see much. Rick, can I get on your shoulders? I'm just checking.
That's unbelievable.
Because I know it's going
to
happen.
I would love to have a picture of that right there.
That would be something. But I would put you on my shoulders. I would, but I'd have to be sitting down.
You'd have to be, and I'd have to have a ladder to just get on your shoulders.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's turn to talk a little basketball real quick. Looks like Orange Beach now has a new basketball coach.
Yeah, Chris Latch is leaving Spain Park in Birmingham to come to Orange Beach. Now, there's a lot of similarities there. Orange Beach, of course, now a city school system. Chris Shaw, guy that you and I are very familiar with, is the principal there now. And they hired a couple of years ago the girls basketball coach from Spain Park, and he's done a tremendous job there. As a matter of fact, they were area champions in 4A Area 1 this year. And let's see. Chris Latch has been there for quite some time. Chris actually started coaching at UMS many, many years ago. And but he's done a great job at Spain Park, but Orange Beach has reached out, offered him the job, and I'm sure Chris has accepted it, and I think it's a great hire. I really do, because Chris has done such a wonderful job at Spain Park. And I'm going to tell you, when you play over the mountain basketball right now, you got the premier team in the state of Alabama in Hoover. And Chris and those guys at Spain Park have really been – toe-to-toe with them the last couple of years. And so I think it's a slam dunk hire for Chris Shaw and Orange Beach and the Makos. Their program's just continuing to grow and get better and better as far as they're hiring quality coaches. When they hired Coach Waldrop from Hoover, that's a great hire. They've got a great baseball coach who's done a tremendous job there. And hiring Chris Latch is just another feather in their cap. Well, of course, we all know their softball program is really probably in the top five in the Southeast. And so they're doing a great job there, and so that's another good hire for them as a head basketball coach. And then, we talked about Ralph Watson, Randy, and so anytime you can replace an excellent coach, and Solomon did a great job there for them. Solomon Johnson did a great job, and they can replace him with a Ralph Watson. Boy, how many schools can do that?
Not many.
How many schools can do that?
So what did I see something the other day? Just dawned on me. I read it the other day. Remember Major Deacon?
Yeah, Major Deacon.
And I think he's just taken the basketball job at Thompson.
He has. He's been at Albertville. He went to Albertville this past either a year or two ago. And Major also has some UMS connections. He was an assistant there for several years and did a tremendous job. And then he went to Northwestern State over in Louisiana and jumped into college. He was also an assistant at Thompson for several years under Drew Powell. And, of course, Drew did a great job there. And Drew is now the head coach at Saraland.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but Major Deacon has left Albertville and taken the job at Thompson. And like Major said, he said, you know, every sport at Thompson expects to win a state championship. And so he's got a lot of energy and a lot of passion, I'll tell you that.
But, he does. I remember when he came to UMS. He came to help me, if you remember correctly. We hired him, and he worked with me for my second year there.
Okay.
Because you did it the first year with me. And the second,
well, they had to get somebody better. I can tell you right there.
No, they just had to get somebody, period, for me, because I didn't know what in the world I was doing. But anyway, Major came in the second year, and I got to know Major. And, I mean, he did a fantastic job with that group of eighth graders we had on that team that year. And I just – became a really big fan of him.
Yep.
Just by the way he watched him handle kids and talk with him and teach the game with such passion. And good for him. I saw that and I went, man, I need to catch up. I hadn't talked to Major in years. And just let him know how proud we are. All the folks who coached with him at UMS, just how proud of where he's gone. And somebody saw something really good in him many years ago.
Well, and for you to be an assistant somewhere like a Thompson where they can just about handpick whoever they want to hire as their coaches, it speaks well for him having been there and they want him to come back after he goes out and gets a head job and at several different schools. And, you know, playing basketball on Sand Mountain, that's not easy.
No.
That's tough. That's really, really tough. And so congratulations to Major Deacon. That's a good hire. That's a good
Very
hire.
Very good hire.
Yep. Coach, we got a few minutes left here in this segment. Let's turn and talk a little softball real quick. A young lady, a senior, Kat Holly, pretty special player and a special person and student.
Yeah, it's at Fayetteville High School. You know where Fayetteville is, Mark.
Yeah.
Right? And Randy, you do too. You've played golf in Fayetteville. You might not know that, but tell me the name of the course. I always in Sylacauga.
Farm Links.
Yeah. Why can I never think of that?
Yeah.
I don't know why that.
Purcell
Farms. Kat's mom, as a matter of fact, used to be the softball coach at or volleyball. Her mom coached one of those two sports. I can't remember. But Kat's something special. She's got a little medical issues that she has to deal with, and she has to have some nourishment, some candy bars or some of those some little snack to keep her going during the day. She's a valedictorian. Just learned she's a valedictorian at Fayetteville High School. She scored 30 on the ACT. She's a regional winner of the Bryant Jordan Scholarship Athlete Award. So I wanted to mention that because so many of our folks down in Sylacauga, and we don't get to recognize them enough, I'm just telling you. We wanted to recognize her this morning. Kat Holly, congratulations down in Fayetteville, Alabama, at Fayetteville High School. And congratulations on being selected as a valedictorian. That's not a popularity vote.
No,
that's an academic vote all the way around. So I'm sure if they voted anyway, she would be the winner of that because she's so well-liked. She played a little bit of volleyball earlier, but right now she's a basketball and volleyball player since the seventh grade. And she may have just be playing two sports now because she was playing volleyball, but I think now it's just basketball and softball.
Continue to talk a little softball. Of course, Saraland had a softball tournament. Vic Moten at Daphne.
She's something special now. I'm telling you right now, if you love high school softball, this is a team that is 19-1. They won the Saraland tourney. But Vic Moten was the AHSAA Green and Phillips Player of the Week a couple of weeks ago. She is really something special. University of Alabama commit, like I said. And, boy, she's not only a great pitcher. You ought to see her hit. When she hits it, it's like a golf ball coming off the tee that you just hit it in the middle of the club. Yeah. Well, she's something. I don't know that sound. Randy knows it, but I don't know that sound.
Randy ain't heard that sound in a while.
But there's another good softball pitcher in our county, Madeline Bird, over at Baldwin County High School. Boy, she's something special. She struck out 12 people in a big win over MGM Mary Montgomery.
So, a 3-2 win.
Yeah. That's big.
Man, you know, when you're in a game, it's 3-2, and you're the pitcher, you just got to bear down, especially as it gets late in the game. And for her to strike out 12 people.
Hey, let me mention, if you've not been to a girls' softball, you got to go watch this. Yeah. I mean, these girls get it. I mean, it is fast, and you better keep your eye on the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Where would you play if you played slow-pitch softball or fast-pitch softball? Where would you play?
I would probably play second base.
You wouldn't want to play third, would you?
I played third in slow-pitch, and I played short in slow-pitch against some big guys. That ball comes in pretty
third
quick. I said, can y'all move me over to second?
Because nobody wants to play third base in slow-pitch.
I tell you what, I played back on the grass, man.
Man, yeah.
That's when I had an arm.
No way I'd want to play third base in fast pitch softball. Like you, I did play third base in slow pitch, and that was crazy.
You're close.
Hide behind the base.
That's almost possible.
I kind of slide over there behind the base, kind of get hit. Stick my glove out, the ball comes in.
Speaking of which, getting hit, did you get hit by a ball?
Yes, and it's all Wes Lathan's fault from UMS Wright. Principal over there. I was over there watching I'm going over to see Wes and his beautiful wife, Ashley, and at the Bayside game. And somebody hits a foul ball. Tate Moore, one of our players, hits a line drive foul ball, and I can't get out of the way. Hits me right in the chest. But I stuck my hand up there and broke my finger. Other than that, it was a great day. Man.
It's time to go.
Yes. Oh, my. All right, we got the leadership segment coming up next.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Look out behind you. JoJo's got his gun. You know what that is right there? You know he likes his phone. That's silk. That is silk.
That's a good way to
end it. Is just silk, baby.
Smooth.
Boy.
Smooth. Just like a lot of our sponsors, Rick. We got some smooth sponsors.
Yeah, we sure do. And I want to read you a review that I noticed the other day when I was in Chris's office. I'm very pleased with the work Premier Collision did on my car. After someone ran into my driver's side, I needed to get my car repaired, and a family member recommended Premier Collision. Great customer service from the owner, Chris. Soon as I dropped off my car, I was getting a call that the work had been done and ready for pickup. I was a bit nervous, but when I got there and saw my car, it looked like she did when I drove her off the lot. Same thing Mark said about your new
2009 Sonoma.
Sonoma. Amazing. You couldn't even tell where the damage was, and my car was detailed. That's another thing that they do there. Once you get your car there and you get it repaired, it comes back a lot cleaner than it was when you took it in there. That's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive. You can go by Monday through Friday. They're closed on Saturday. But you can give them a call Monday through Friday, 251-478-4500. That's 1177 Sledge Drive. They also have Premier Collision West over on Schillinger. I tell you, if you have a problem with your vehicle, Chris Garris and Kim, if you want to go from beauty to the beast, go see Kim and then go see Chris. And, boy, you're just seeing the two people that can fix your car. Tyler is right in there with them, and they do everything they can to help you. Boy, I went by there the other day, and there was not a place to park. You just could not get in there to see them. But you give them a call, they'll have you in and out as quick as anybody I've ever been around. Appreciate everything that they do for high school sports. I'm pretty sure that the biggest challenge when it comes to compromising stems from the fact that no one wants to lose, ever. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's a game you're playing or a discussion you're having. You don't want to lose. And what most people fail to recognize is that true compromise is not about winning and losing. It's about allowing both sides of the compromise to maintain self-respect. A compromise can be found in any situation, and it can, in fact, it must be found without sacrificing core values. To find compromise, you must be willing to let some things go. Humans say and do the most regrettable things when they are emotional. You most certainly have, and it's likely that you're willing to cut yourself a fair amount of slack for saying or doing whatever. You cut yourself that slack because you realize that you were emotional. You must also realize that the other party to your compromise is an emotional being as well. Cut them some slack. You may enter into a discussion with one set of expectations, but that doesn't mean your expectations can't change as a result of your discussion. Be willing to change your expectations. Again, that's not a sign of losing. It is a sign that you're strong enough to realize that sometimes the only way to get something is to give something. Hiding your true feelings when searching for a compromise does not work. Share how you feel. But at the same time, we must value the other person's feelings as much as you want them to value yours. You know, sometimes in life, one of the things that I've learned to recognize, Mark, and really in the last month more so than ever, is there's some people in your life you got to get away from. You just got to get away from them because you do and you do and you do, and they take and they take and they take, and they never give you back what you've given them. It's not an equal relationship. So in our world today, we as people need to understand that we can't be with everybody we want to be with. And we can't do with everybody we want to do with what we want to do. So the best thing to do is separate yourself and to get away from them. Just absolutely get away from them. And I've not only learned that on the golf course, I've learned that in life. And so even though it's hard, and this is the time of year when coaches are having to, head coaches and athletic directors are having to make decisions about coaching staffs. And there's some tough decisions that have to be made. There really are. You got to bring not only a coach, you're bringing his whole family in when you make that decision to let them go. Or as a principal or a headmaster, you're not going to bring back a teacher. And that's hard to do. It's absolutely hard to do. But sometimes in life, we've got to find outside of compromise. So everything can't be compromised. It just can't. So you've been in that situation. I've been in that situation. Sometimes we got to separate ourselves from those things that bring us down, that don't give as much back as they take from those of us who give.
You're absolutely right. And, Rick, and that is sometimes the hardest thing that there is to do. Because
right.
And we get into coaching staffs especially,
yep.
And it can be in any business where you have people working as a team, but with those coaching staffs, you are all in the same school working for the same goal,
yep.
To make those kids to be the best they can be and to win as much as you can win without, you know, forfeiting your standards of who you are and what you're going to do. I mean, there's a way to do things, and there's a
a fine line there when it comes time to where the athletic director has to make a decision about a coach.
Right.
It is so hard. And, you know, people on the outside don't know the full story. You know, we try, yep. all of us try as much as we can. The first thing we see, there's a real problem on our hands. What can we do to make this better?
Yeah.
How can we make it better? How can we get what we need without, you know, going the full measure and letting someone go? How do we do that? It's just like kicking a kid off your team.
Yeah.
You know, no coach worth his salt ever wants to do that.
No, never.
It just you feel like you failed as a coach. I haven't been able to reach this child. And that, man, that is hard to do. And so nobody really wants to do it. And so but sometimes it gets to that point where you say, I've got to make the worst case scenario here, right. And this is what I got to do. And when you do that, you open yourself up to and make yourself subjective to criticism and people saying things about it. You got to have thick skin when you do that. You just go, you know, I'm sorry. This is what I felt like we had to do. It may not be what you wanted to do or anybody else may have wanted to do. But the worst thing that I have learned, Coach, about that, about compromise, is never to make a snap decision. Angry.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
Wake up tomorrow morning and think about it again. And normally that gives you a better perspective. But
first hour come and gone. Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor's Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in South Alabama. So glad to have you on board with us. A beautiful Saturday morning. I'm Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter. And Coach, I'll tell you, what I'd like to do is for the next segment or two is it looks like the HSAA Legislative Council has ratified 15. They passed 15 of the 33 proposals. And I want to kind of make that aware for everyone because some of these are going to be significant.
Yeah, Randy, and what this is every year principals can send in a sheet of paper, or really athletic directors and principals, and Mark, you know this as well, if not better than I do, but you make proposals as to rule changes, and you try to change some of the verbiage in rules that will help you. And Mark, I got something here that will help you too.
It's called a step stool.
God.
No, I didn't say that.
See?
I didn't say that, Mark.
Thought we saw eye to eye, man.
Man.
I heard Mark. It all day yesterday from 89. Let me get a Coke
the first
crate.
Three down on the bottom and then on the next page.
Gotcha.
Eight. But these proposals were available for the member schools to study, and by April the 11th, they had to vote. And some of the proposals deal with summer practice. Some of them just address some of the things that we've had problems with in the past. One of the things I think that the Legislative Council addressed this year, which I think is wonderful, is we're going to work on a shot clock in basketball. And now in area games, if both coaches agree, they can use a shot clock. So, but it's got to be by agreement by both, and then everybody's got to purchase shot clocks. So it's going to take a few years for that to become a real part of the game. I'm not so sure I like that. I'm just not. I still, you know, I'm still old school on that. But if you talk to Michael Knapp and some of those others, coaches that are modern-day coaches and are up to date on it, they probably have different feelings about that. We'll get Mike on to talk about the shot clock and the ramifications of it. But I wanted to go through some of these.
Well, one thing, Rick, before we get off of that, Tyler, I don't know if we're going to get back to it. One of the things that about the shot clock that I have always thought is that there are teams that play basketball in high school that don't have the ability to run a fast-paced, up-tempo type basketball
right.
game.
Yeah.
And one of those teams, some of those teams, if their coach does a good job, will play slow down basketball. spread it out
yeah.
and run that clock down and make it difficult for the other team, because that gives his team the best chance to win.
Right.
If you take that out of their hands, you know, I don't know if that's good or not. I think it's a part of the coaching, the beauty of coaching basketball for me, is have certain coaches, like we had, I think it was Phoenix City last year, weren't they the ones who just took the ball and, I mean, went up and down the court as fast as they could go? I mean, they had like 15 guys. They had three different groups. Boom, boom, boom. Here they come. I mean, they are flying up and down that court. Some teams don't have that.
Right.
But they got four or five guys who can spread the ball around and are good handling it with it, and they take their time. They're very deliberate about it, and it makes the game difficult for those teams who like to run it and gun it, you know. So it's just a little difference in philosophy, and I hate to see a rule take out a coaching
strategy
that could help his kids, in, you know, because some schools are going to run into it every year. They're just not as good as teams are going to have to play in their region or their area. I mean, so I don't know. That's just one of my thoughts on it. I'm sure basketball coaches have a better grasp on it than I do, but this is one of the things that perhaps the first thing that popped in my head on that rule.
What is the advantage of that, though? I mean, you're going to have the same time. Because I'm kind of in the same field with Mark here on that, because depending on the athleticism of your team, that may be, hey, look, we're ahead, we got to spread this out and slow it down. The time is still going to be the same, but the shot clock is going to rush that up for them.
Well, it's going to rush the shot up. You got to get a shot off. Of course, everybody remembers Phil Ford in North Carolina when they ran the four corners,
right?
And I mean, they get a 6-point lead. And with 10 minutes to go in the game, they could run 5 or 6 minutes off,
right,
in between possessions. But, you know, I don't know where I am with it. I'll be honest with you. I look at the ramifications of, we barely do have schools that have enough manpower to have a clock keeper. We barely do have some schools that can only afford to pay minimum $5 a game for keeping a clock.
Right.
How are they going to afford buying shot clocks? How are they going to afford paying another clock keeper when they already have one for the regular clock and another one for the shot clock? You know, there's a lot of things that have to be worked out on that, and I don't know. I had somebody tell me the other day, said, you know, there's a lot of colleges that get new shot clocks that would probably sell to the high schools. Well, know a lot of high schools that want to buy a used shot clock.
No.
You know, there's probably been some problems with them, so I don't know. But 15 of the 33 proposals were passed and are going to be adopted. Summer camps. It allows during dead week, and Mark, dead week is that week when all of y'all are in Montgomery at the coaching clinic. It allows during that dead week, school facilities can be used with principal approval and camp host agreement for summer camps during the All-Star Sports Week. You know, usually you couldn't do anything, nothing during that week. Now you can have a camp, but you can't have it on the day. Like if you're having a football camp, you can't have camp the day that the rules of football are being discussed and your coaches have to be there. Makes sense to you?
Yeah, would that be just on the rule? Like the examination is like on Thursday.
Right. So you couldn't have camp on
but you could have on Wednesday.
Yep.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but you couldn't have maybe like baseball on Tuesday, because baseball's when their exam
is. That's exactly right.
You have to figure out which day it is, which kind of makes it difficult for a camp. I guess you could go Monday through Wednesday for football, Wednesday through Friday for baseball, however you want to do it, and work around it for your various sports. I get that.
Coaching outside the school year to allow a school coach to coach a student from his or her school on non-school team if the non-school team is an Olympic-level team. Now, here's what happened with that. Remember a couple of years ago, the baseball coach at Hoover had a player – that made the junior Olympic team, and his coach coached him. So the following season, either the player had to sit out or the coach had to sit out. That's the coach made the decision. He wasn't going to penalize that kid.
Right.
He made the decision that he would sit out.
That's right.
If it's something that has to do with an Olympic sport, your coach can coach that kid during the summer. Now, in that case, it was, I think, a pitcher that was involved, and he was just coaching the infielders. He wasn't directly even coaching his own player, but they still had to follow the rule, and he wasn't able. Now, that's been eliminated. So I love that. Let's see.
What about one I read something about this week was 20, two levels of competition on the same day.
Yep.
In the same event.
Yep. Let's put it like this. Let's say you're the basketball coach at Monsignor High School in Flatout, Alabama.
Flatout.
And so you have a player that is a marginal player that can help you on the varsity as a as an extra, but he's a starter on that JV team. Before now, if you played in a JV game, you couldn't play in the varsity game. Now, with this rule, if Randy is a good enough player to start on the B team, even as an eighth grader, but you can also could help your varsity. You could be a reserve and come in maybe be the third point guard.
Right.
Then you can play both in a JV game and a varsity game on the same day. But you still can only play in 30 games. So you're playing in two games in one day.
Gotcha.
I got you.
All right, well, let's keep talking about this in the next segment as well, all right? All right, we'll take a quick time out and more of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster, glad you're with us. We are talking about the AHSAA's Legislative Council. They've ratified 15 of the 33 proposals, and I'll tell you, some of these are pretty doggone interesting. Mark, I know that you had brought up one just a moment ago.
Yeah, we're talking about, what different types of things that happen on the same – doing the same day.
Right.
Being able to play a JV game and a varsity game. Now, some sports you can't do that. I mean, but mainly it's talking about basketball, and I guess there are some baseball.
Yeah, it's
baseball.
You
can play baseball. Yeah. You could play a JV game and a varsity game on the same day.
Do that in soccer?
Yeah. In years past, you couldn't do that. So it does allow for them to bring up a guy that can do both in the same day. Most kids are not going to, be a starter in both.
No.
It's a guy who's going to come in and
if you're a starter on the varsity, you're not going to be playing JV.
Correct.
No. But now volleyball. Volleyball, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do it in all the sports. But, it's I like the rule. I do like the
rule.
I do,
too. I think it's a good rule. I'm glad they're looking at that and getting able – but gets more kids able to get in there and get some work done and help their team out.
Well, we were talking off the air about during the off season, teams have 2 hours a week that they can work. Well – prior to this past legislative council passing these, if you did work in PE, it counted toward those 2 hours. That's no longer true. Now, you use the example of a block schedule. You have a 90-minute block. Well, if you go out, let's just use football. If you go out and you work in PE on football, for 60 minutes, you give 30 minutes to get dressed and get ready and do everything you need to do. But you use 60 minutes 4 days a week, you're getting 4 hours of work that you couldn't do prior to it. Now, the work that you do in PE does not count toward that 2 hours.
Correct.
So, again, I like that too, Mark, and that's something that you can address from the standpoint of how y'all do things at Bayside.
You know, I just think it. I think that that rule is a good rule. I always warn myself against overdoing it with kids practicing too much. Like if it's in the middle of February or January, and I've got football players in my block class, and we're practicing football, you know, 4 days a week, and or however many times you're doing it,
right.
And then, you know, they got to have a break from that stuff.
Absolutely.
Sooner. They've just got to.
Yeah.
Just to get away from it some. And of course, all of us here in this room, we encourage our kids to play different sports, you know, which I think is a huge deal. I was thinking about that the other day when I was watching a golf tournament about kids that are on the course. You know, a lot of golfers don't play other sports, you know, because they spend all the time playing golf. But some do. And I think the ones that do have a little bit more of a competitive edge. Not in all cases. But some have a little bit more. They've competed in a baseball game or competed in a softball game or competed in a soccer match or whatever. It was like our little – we had a kid playing yesterday. A little kid named Jake Jacobs was playing. He's a seventh grader. He also plays defensive back. Now, Jake, I don't know if Jake weighs 80 pounds. I don't know.
Mercy.
He is a little bitty fella. But, I mean, he can hit a golf ball. He's a good little golfer. And so is a little kid named Campbell Hughes. But now Jake, I was talking about, Jake played defensive back for our middle school football team. All right? I think that helps him because he gets his nose bloodied a little bit, you know, gets up there and gets hit. Everything's not quite as easy.
That's right.
You know, and it helps him compete when things get tough. So I think it's
a good deal. I'll tell you, a lot of the golf teachers will say, hey, we want students playing in other sports because it develops their body in a different way. So, and it makes them a little more competitive.
Right. I agree with you. I think it's a great thing for kids to play. Just like we're going to talk about some baseball here in a few minutes. We got a player at Bayside, Teague Broadhead.
Right.
He's a signee from Southern Mississippi. Going to go play ball there next year. But he's a three-year starter at inside linebacker for us in football. Tremendous football player. Played running back. He's also a pitcher on our baseball team. Multi-sports. He does them both, you know, and he's good at both of them. And he's one of those kids that he's what you want to me in high school. He's a guy you want to play multiple sports and be there for his team and have great excitement for both sports.
Kind of reminds you of a guy named Hunter Slater.
Yeah, exactly.
Went to Southern Miss, played quarterback at Bayside, fantastic baseball player, a great quarterback there at Bayside, and then went to Southern Miss and had a really, really good career as a baseball player at Southern Miss.
He did. I just think it's an important deal.
Well, I think any time that you sit down and talk to a guy that comes into your school as a recruiter, one of the first things that he's going to ask you is how many sports does this child play? Does he just play baseball? Does he just play football? Does he just play basketball? No, coach, he plays two sports, has played three, but now he's just decided to play two, and he's really, it breaks him down that he doesn't get to play three, but there's just not time.
There's not.
So you're right. So another proposal that's been good for tennis coaches around the state, one that we proposed several times, to move the start date for the sport of tennis back 3 weeks to coincide with the start for baseball and softball to allow for more daylight and warmer weather. Change will be instituted as soon as the current state championship venue contracts are able to be adjusted to accommodate the change. Now, one of the things, Mark, that's not on here, and Randy, one of the things that's not on here, and it's got to be, something's going to have to happen with this, is where we're going to play Super Sevens.
Yeah.
And with everything happening with the Southeastern Conference, with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas coming in, with these conferences that are now growing, Tuscaloosa and Auburn may not be available to play our state championship games. Now, I think that's a hindrance to them in the fact that they're not getting these kids on campus. You may have a ninth grader that plays at Jordan Hare who falls in love with Jordan Hare and that facility, or he plays at Bryant Denny and he falls in love with that facility. I think it's a great recruiting tool. I do think it's a fabulous recruiting tool for in-state players. However, at the same time, Jacksonville State, Troy, North Alabama, Alabama State, these smaller Division I schools, they may be the beneficiary of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what's going to happen with that, Mark. And I'm sure I have heard that there's already an agreement between Auburn and Auburn and Tuscaloosa to continue that. But I've also heard that that's not going to be feasible. So the new executive director is going to have to deal with that. And Alvin has probably dealt with it a great deal in the meantime, but that's not something that was addressed with this legislative council.
It's not, and I hope we can come up with a personally, I think it's been great. I mean, I got to coach in the game one time there at Tuscaloosa. Great deal at those being at those venues.
Right.
But I also think, man, it would be kind of cool to be able to see that game move around the state to play in Mobile.
At Hancock Whitney.
Yeah, right. And then play at Jacksonville and then play at North Alabama.
Right.
You know, play at some of those. And you can house those enough. There's enough room at those universities to
for
house
Super 7.
Super 7. Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, take another time out. When we come back, more of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Hanging with the crowd. Out loud.
Saying you bought her this and that. How much you done spent? I swear she must believe it's all heaven sent. Hey boy, better bring a check around.
Mark, never let me see that again, okay? I never want to see you try to dance again.
God.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Glad to have you here with us. Boy, beautiful Saturday morning. We're going to continue rolling on. Let's talk a little baseball real quick. Little coach got 800 wins here, Rick.
Yeah, you know, you don't find many coaches who take a job right out of college and stay there until they retire. Kenny Whittle played, he was an infielder for us at Huntington in the mid-70s. Ken took a job at Trinity Presbyterian School there in Montgomery. And matter of fact, he coached there for 43 years. He came out of retirement this year to retake the coaching job, the baseball coaching job at Trinity, because Jared Cook took another job. And they immediately asked Kenny to take it, and he did. Last week, Trinity Wildcats presented him with his 800th coaching victory.
Wow.
Hall of Fame. He's in the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. It clinched the 4A Area 4 championship for Whittle's baseball team. His career record is 800 wins, 381 losses, and 44 seasons. And Whittle joined a very unique club of AHSAA baseball coaches to reach that milestone in their career. That club now has 7. The club is led by current Hartsel coach William Booth. Now, guys, 1,200 wins. 1,200 career wins. Other 6 members are William Murrell. And William Murrell coached at Athens Bible, which up in the northern part of the state. Great high school baseball coach. His daddy was a tremendous high school and college basketball coach. His dad, Bill, was the head basketball coach at Spring Hill for many, many years, and had some pretty good players from right here in Mobile that played for him there at Spring Hill. Lloyd Skoda, he's got 902. Coach Skoda coached at Daphne, coached at Faith Academy for many, many years. Ricky Patterson. A lot of these guys are from Mobile. Ricky Patterson, who passed away a couple of years ago, played at South Alabama, tremendous baseball guy, 893 wins. Andy Robbins, who coached over at Bayside, and I think this is Andy's last. I think he's retiring. I think this is Andy's last year. He's got 877, and then Stuart Fuller, who coached at Fairhope forever, now an assistant to Brett Boutwell over at Sarah Land. Now, you know what? All of those are from this area except Ken Whittle, William Booth, and William Urell. So that means 1, 2, 3, 4 of the top 8 coaches as far as wins or have Mobile area connections.
That's awesome.
It's big time baseball right now. I'm telling you, this is a baseball mega. It's a mega capital of baseball, high school baseball. You guys at Bayside have got probably as good of a team. Matt Limbaugh's got as good a team as I've seen in a long time.
Matt's got a really good team, and he's done such a good job putting that program together at Bayside. And, you know, over the last few years, that team's been one to reckon with every time it comes to, you know, playoff time and area time. It's always, they're always a team you're going to have to beat to get through it.
Right.
And Matt's just done a great job with this bunch. And, you know, there's a bunch of kids in that little program that I'm so proud of to watch them compete and do what they do and watch them have success and failure together. You know, it's you got to watch. I like watching teams when things are not going well. You know, how do you do when things don't go your way? What happens? Do you pull yourself together? And I've kind of seen that with Bayside, and I've been real pleased at the way they rally back. Know they got to do this. Hey, this is where we are. It's like a golf coach I talked to the other day. He said, "Don't worry about, you know, what I got to do. Just think about this. What's next? What's the next thing I got to do?"
Saban-esque, if you will.
It is. It's just, and I'm like, that is exactly it. It doesn't really matter that you just hit that drive 300, like, you know, 375, 380, like I normally do. If you hit it that far, and then you kind of
is that inches?
Hey. I'm trying to make a point here.
Okay. So, all right.
So anyway, yeah, but he hit the ball, but you can't think about how great that shot was.
Right.
You go, okay, what's next? What's the very next thing I have to do? What is it? You know, whether it's a chip, what are you doing? You can't, and if you can stay in that mindset, then whatever sport you're playing, usually like if you're a pitcher, you throw a fastball, all right, what's next? Another fastball, curveball. Have it in your head already. You know, those kind of guys who can put that thing, what's next, helps the team get better, and that's what I see out of Bayside's baseball team.
So they're one pitch ahead. It's kind of like a play caller in football being one play ahead.
Yes.
So
setting something up for later on, they're going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't have that luxury. You're just trying to get the ball in the end zone however you can. It doesn't make any difference as a play caller, you know, but there's always some method. You know, that's why everybody scripts them. You know, the script really helps. Because I'm doing this when this play, I'm doing this, and I want to see this, I want to see that in the first drive, so I have an idea the rest of the game what they're going to do.
You know, have you ever seen a baseball coach that not only scripted out but had a play sheet for things to do late in the game if situational baseball?
Yeah.
There was a coach that used to, Sammy Frichter, who coached at Wallace of Dothan for years and years. I'm telling you, he always had something. So this is something that I'd never seen before. Young umpire, you know, I'm wet behind the ears. Yeah. I'm nervous. I hope I know all the rules. So, they're playing Enterprise, and they don't like each other. I mean, they don't send Christmas cards nor birthday cards, and they don't greet each other before the game. So Frichter is one out away, got the bases loaded, and he has a pickoff move where he spins. Now, you got to run on third, too, now.
Yeah.
Two outs. They're up one run in the bottom of the seventh. He spins and throws the ball to second base. Second, the shortstop, I think, covered. I don't remember who it was. But anyway, he reached down, and all of a sudden he caught the ball, but he took off to center field, and that guy on second took off. And when he realized that he had the ball, he tried to come back, and he just reached out and touched him. See, when that second baseman or shortstop, whichever one, took off, the runner thought that ball had gone into center field.
And it was in his glove.
It was in his glove.
Yep.
That guy took off about three steps. He tagged him out. Ball game. Now, he had – Frichter had that scripted out. He showed that to us two umpires at the time after the game. Said, if we get in situation, go to ransack. That's what he called it, ransack. I've always remembered that. So, you know, you never know these guys are going to do. They've got it scripted out. And I used to watch Steve Kittrell. He always had something in his back pocket. He'd always pull it out. It's amazing these baseball coaches that we have today and even yesterday that have every – we think football coaches have everything.
Yeah.
It ain't just them. Now basketball coaches, you watch them on the sideline, Final Four, or all the tournaments, they got a sheet of paper there.
Yeah,
they got everything that – you can't remember everything that you're supposed to do that you've worked on all week. You just can't remember it all. Terry Curtis, the only one I've ever seen. Only one I've ever seen can do that.
He's pretty
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you a little baseball deal. With my daddy, this is my daddy's story. Him and my daddy was a pitcher, and his brother Jerry was a catcher. Jerry told my grandfather was telling me this. My dad's dad was telling me this story when I was a little kid. He said one day I was out there watching, playing baseball. We was down at Coach Ben playing and. Was playing somebody and yada yada, and he said every time a guy got on first base, I noticed when your daddy would pitch, he'd hit the ground.
He just fall down.
He just fall right yeah. in the, and I said, son, what are you doing? He said, I got to get out of the way. He said, Jerry told me if I didn't get out of the way and that guy tried to steal second base, I'd get hit. and he goes, don't do that again. He goes, Daddy, I'm not gonna get hit. And so, sure enough, he said, well, don't do it again. You look like an idiot. And so, he throw the ball up in there. Guy takes off first base. Dad's standing there. Uncle Jerry grabs it, throws it, hits him right in the chest with bam. Hits my dad right in the chest. Dad, of course, runs to home plate, punches Jerry, and they get in a fight right there at home plate. I kid you not. It's a true story. And they fought like cats and dogs, and they just let them fight for about 10 minutes. They finally got done and got tired. Daddy went back out and pitched, and Jerry got back behind a plate and caught.
That's unbelievable. What is the longest baseball game you've ever played in? How many innings? We just broke
16,
the record.
16 innings.
The longest we played was 13.
They just broke the record this past week. Gardendale was playing Mortimer Jordan. No, that's not true. Gardendale beat Hueytown 2-1 in 17 innings.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
That's the longest game in Alabama High School Athletic Association history. And there's some familiar names on there. The baseball coach at Gardendale is a young man named Ryan Keady. His daddy was an All-American player at Auburn, Pat Keady. A really, really good player. And yes, 17 innings. Matter of fact, I don't ever remember umpiring a game nearly that long. I mean, not even close to that long. So, yeah, 17 innings.
That's a lot of coaching right there. That's a lot of playing right there. That's a lot of rotating.
You know what?
That's
I didn't like that 16-inning game. I think I struck out 9 times. Hey, that's a lot of bats in 16 innings.
One last thing. One of the premier coaches in Alabama, Auburn baseball coach high school, Ron Simo, is retiring after 32 years.
Yep.
Congratulations, Ronnie.
There you go. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Mark has got the Camp Grace segment for you.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
I was listening the other night to Coach Saban spoke at a clinic. And actually, I was at this clinic, and I couldn't remember exactly how it all went, but I found it on YouTube. But he was speaking to the high school, Alabama high school coaches at the conference in January, which is put on by the Alabama Football Coaches Association. Anyway, Coach Saban's talking, and you know he's always got something, things that make you really think about if you listen to him. And this was his quote. This is a quote for about who we are as people and about being happy, okay? He said, if you want to be happy, you know, for an hour or two.
Oh, yeah.
Eat a steak.
That's right. That's right.
You want to be happy for a day, play golf. You want to be happy for a week, buy a car. You want to be happy for a month, get a dog. If you want to be happy in life, ask yourself this question. If I didn't show up for work today, would anybody miss me? If I didn't show up, period, wherever, would anybody miss me? Man, I tell you what, I remember I was thinking about that the other day. About I heard him say it live, and he had some other things that night he said that I can't remember. But I was like, man, that is so right. How do I live my life?
Right.
Would anybody miss me? I can make myself happy for an hour. You know, one of my favorite things to do is get a big old glass of tea, sit on my back deck, and just sit there and be quiet. I enjoy that. I enjoy that few minutes. I do. I really, really do. That's just for me. I enjoy taking trips with my golf team. I love it. I have fun doing it. I enjoy the interaction with the kids. I really, really do. You know, somebody was asking me, man, you go a lot. I said, man, I have fun going. I get to watch these kids grow.
And develop
and become people. And getting to know them is the best part for me. Yeah. Getting to know them, not as golfers, but as kids. You know, it's the coolest thing to me. Like, one of my kids, on my golf team's name is Jack Hicks. Jack Hicks is just a great kid, a little redheaded. He's a senior. He's our only senior. And he shot 79 at Dothan the other day. He was so excited about that round of golf because he doesn't get into the 70s that much because he does a lot of other things. He's a very good student. He works hard. He plays soccer. But Jack just had a really great round. And to see him smile when that round was over was worth $1 million to me. But going back to the point of what we're doing, about what is it that what is it about us that would people miss us if we're not there? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If I do those things, if I trust in the Lord with all my heart, he'll make my path straight. So when I'm struggling, things are not going my way, man, it bothers me. But if I just get out of the way and I just allow God to let him handle it, it makes my life better. And I've told you guys this before, and I'll tell you it again. In the last 15 years of my life have been probably at times some of the hardest times of my life, and yet some of the most rewarding times of my life. Hard times, difficult times. Back in, you know, when I first trying to figure out what I was going to do after I retired and went to work at UMS, that was a great time of my life. It really was. I've learned a lot about me during those days. And today, as I look back, you know, Terry and Ed Lathan gave me a chance. Terry Curtis and Ed Lathan gave me a chance to go back to work after I'd retired. And I said, you know, I think I want to do that. And, man, I just found a new structure of my life that was different, but it was so much better. And I would think, I want to get myself back and be the man, be the head coach and do this and do that. best thing that's ever happened to me is just stay right in my lane. It really has. Just stay in my lane and do the best job I can while I'm there. And hopefully what Coach Saban said is right. You know, hopefully if for some reason I don't show up for work, somebody will miss me. You know, I hope that's true. Everybody wants it to be true. I don't know if sometimes it is or not, but I hope that's true. And I think it's a really important thing that we all strive for is where you want to make yourself happy for a minute. And this is what you do. If you want to make yourself happy for life, just make sure that I've got to do is to make myself happy for my life is to make sure that every single day is done to try to make somebody else's life a little bit better. If I can do that, I've had a pretty good life. You know,
it's pretty good right there.
It's well said. I keep thinking about that guy that came to school and coached, and he'd slip off during the day and go fishing or hunting. Who was that? We used to talk about that a lot.
Fayette County.
That was
what was his? No, damn it, I forgot that.
His son played quarterback.
Yeah, his son's a coach.
Yeah,
Brain lock.
Yeah, there's a lot to that, Mark. A lot to what you said. Got some great shows coming up. Southern Fairways follows this show. Then at 4 o'clock this afternoon, you want to hear Jolene Roxbury. I mean, she's going to knock your socks off. She will absolutely have you in tears laughing. And then that's a replay in the morning at 7 o'clock. You catch our show again tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. And what you got going on Southern Fairways, Randy?
Well, I mean, it is Masters Week and Masters Weekend, so we're going to have a special edition of Augusta National and what's going on there. And we got some guys that's going to be reporting from there. Got a bunch of stuff happening, so stay tuned.
Guys, great show. Appreciate, Randy, everything that you do. This show would not be what it is without you. I can tell you that. You've added the Mercedes to it. So we appreciate that. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week.
At Thompson Tractor, you'll find the largest and best selection of compact construction machines available. You can rely on Thompson to provide the trusted service and support folks have come to expect for more than 65 years. Like this, right now, get 0% financing for 48 months on all Cat compact equipment. But don't wait. This offer is only good through December 30th. Not ready to buy? There's Thompson Rents, where you can always find just what you need. Visit thompsontractor.com for the location nearest you. Thompson Tractor and Thompson Rents. We're here for you.
Savings, selection, customer satisfaction. That's Eastern Shore Toyota. Rush for big fall markdowns on hundreds of new Toyotas. Like RAV4s and Highlanders, save up to $6,100. Yes, drive away today in your new RAV4 or Highlander and save up to $6,100. Or get as low as 0% financing. Plus, get a lifetime warranty, identity protection, theft protection, and more. Hurry to Eastern Shore Toyota, I-10 exit 38. Passionate for customer satisfaction.